there were a lot of German scientists that worked for the Nazi Party back during the war that all of a sudden became good American citizens working at NASA, of all places, and DARPA, and lots of other high-tech government agencies. You could go into any building in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and yell Sieg Heil, and you'd have a lot of people jumping up and it's like, oh, sorry, I forgot what country I was in. Never mind.
Well, and you also had, particularly like Werner von Braun was associated with Disney. I mean, he was appearing in Disney documentaries. And it's okay. I mean, you know, people change. It could be that these guys put their fascist past behind them and became good Americans devoted to democracy. But it's still a fact that we have people who really believe that democracy is just a bad thing.
This time on the Plutopia podcast, John and Scoop check in with an obituary for 2021 and its politics. Our dynamic duopoly manages to wax poetic about fascism, the election fraud, the big lie, red pill versus blue pill, COVID, and cryptocurrency. No politicians were injured in the production of this podcast, but we seriously tried.
Hey, welcome everybody to another edition of the Plutopia podcast. And in this edition, Scoop and I are going to just sit back and talk about the year.
The year of living dangerously, John. That's why what I categorize 2021 as being.
The year of living ludicrously.
Ludicrous is a good one, too. There is a plethora of ludicrous. I can't even say it. A plethora
ludiocrity.
It was confusing, folks.
You know, the funny thing, I have jokingly said a few times that the Democrats stole the election by voting. And today I saw that Rand Paul had accused the Democrats of stealing the election by voting.
Okay.
I thought I was kidding. I didn't think that anybody in their right mind would actually try to make the case that because more of the other party voted, that they had stolen the election.
I kind of, if I remember correctly from my high school government class, I think we both took that one at dear old Big Spring Senior High School way back when, that the whole idea of the election was if you vote more than the other side, you win.
It tends to be the thing, yeah. Now, there is a problem with that, which is that sometimes you'll get more people to vote and their vote will be, how shall I put it, ill-considered. So just because you have a majority doesn't mean you're right. But also, in the case of Republicans, just because you have a minority, that doesn't mean you're right either. You can be wrong either way.
They're just less obvious to be wrong.
But in a democracy, what it is that you have like two or more sets of decision makers, and they try to convince the electorate that they have the answers, that they have the approach, that they are on the right track. And if they can get more votes, in other words, if they can do a good job of persuading, then they get elected.
Well,
because more people vote for them.
Yeah, I noticed, you remember all those challenges, all the audits of looking for all those dead people that were voting and all the illegal immigrants that were voting. And they came out with results, and all of a sudden, nobody was talking about it because they didn't find anything.
Actually did. They found some instances of voter fraud, but
unfortunately,
they were always on the GOP side, and the GOP has been trying to make the case for voter fraud. So this handful of fraudulent voters popping up in their column has made them a little quieter, I guess.
Oops, we got caught, I think, is what that's known as. Yeah, that, and I just love the logic, or the lack thereof, in all of the lawsuits filed by our glorious Attorney General here in Texas. I forget his name. Pox. He was a pox upon you, or no, Paxton.
Pox upon Pax, you? No.
Paxton.
Ken Paxton.
He's a pox. Anyway, all this money he's spent suing, you know, he's doing the Don Quixote of legal challenge, I guess. He's finding plenty of windmills to go up against and losing every battle.
He tried to indict Dana de Beauvoir, who is the county clerk in Travis County, where I live. And I guess, are you in Travis County too? You're in Bastrop County.
In Bastrop, the more conservative part of Central Texas, unfortunately.
So for some reason, Paxton was going to indict her, and I'm not really sure I understand exactly what the point of it was. It was a charge of unlawfully obstructing a poll watcher.
Yeah,
the idea is that you send thugs into polls to intimidate people, and then you sue people who try to obstruct them and prevent them from intimidating voters.
Yeah, and it's funny. Yeah, I read the complaint, and it was basically, they weren't pleased with their accommodations. They had a little room that didn't have, you know, the ability to peer right over the shoulder of the poor person that's counting the ballots or doing whatever it is that they have to do during the election process. And most of what they were saying was like, well, you know, great, but no one really threw you out or anything. And it seemed to have gone away pretty quickly.
So where did all of this start, I wonder?
It started at the top last year.
Well, and it probably started even before then, but that was certainly where it came to a head. I had posted today on our website at plutopia.io. I have a blog post. And one of the things I talk about in that blog post is an article in The Ringer, which is an online, I guess, you know, actually, I'm not a regular reader of The Ringer, but I think that they focus on sports and entertainment. But in this case, they had a really good article about how the idea of the red pill from the Matrix was co-opted by the right wing in the U.S. And the idea of the red pill, which is the idea of the red pill is that you have a red pill and a blue pill offered to you. You're living in a state of delusion. In the case of the Matrix, you're in a pod that's plugged in with a bunch of other pods, sort of like batteries.
You're an ever-ready alkaline battery with a human body.
Exactly. And the way that you are sustained as completely placid and not resisting is that you're kept in a state of kind of like sleep, and you're actually placed into a virtual reality, a delusional reality, which is like our everyday life. So the idea is that we think we're living our everyday life, you know, going to work, doing whatever it is we do, having romances. All of that stuff is happening in a weird sort of unconscious virtual reality space, while in reality, you're subservient to, in this case, a bunch of AI sort of constructs that are maintaining this virtual reality. So Morpheus, who himself has broken free from the delusional state,
offers you a red pill and a blue pill. And if you take the blue pill, you just go right back into your delusional state. But if you take the red pill, you start to see things as they really are. And it facilitates your escape. It helps you to see your situation so that you can break free from it. You need, I mean, in this case, Neo had help breaking free from his pod, but the red pill was a necessary step toward getting free. And this idea of the red pill as the thing that opens your mind up or awakens you to reality somehow was adopted in the world of people who believe that waking up is realizing that liberals are bad, fascists are good, that we, this idea of us having a sort of democratic, liberal, civil form of governance in society is stupid, just stupid. And we ought to wake up from it and realize that we need to have one strong leader at the top.
Yeah, well, the big meme out on right-wing crazy parts of the internet is the whole thing of Hitler was right. And you see that a lot. And it's just some scary people out there that they really want to go back to the old Third Reich days where we can all walk around with funny little mustaches and do the little funny salute. But I find nothing funny about any of that.
But and in fact, Hitler had supporters in the U.S., quite a few. And
the German-American Bund was big here in the 30s. Yeah.
And they didn't all just go away. You know, there have been Nazis in the U.S. for as long as I've been. I mean, as long as I can remember, I heard references to the American Nazi Party. But this isn't like the American Nazi Party that we're seeing today. It's like sort of a creeping of this idea of fascism into a more sort of mainstream part of our society, to the extent that almost half the people seem to be buying into it to some extent.
Yeah. Well, you know, there were a lot of German scientists that worked for the Nazi Party back during the war that all of a sudden became good American citizens working at NASA, of all places, and DARPA, and lots of other high-tech government agencies. You could go into any building in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and yell Sieg Heil, and you'd have a lot of people jumping up, and it's like, oh, sorry, I forgot what country I was in. Never mind.
Well, and you also had, particularly like Werner von Braun was associated with Disney. I mean, he was appearing in Disney documentaries. And it's okay. I mean, you know, people change. It could be that these guys put their fascist past behind them and became good Americans devoted to democracy. But it's still a fact that we have people who really believe that democracy is just a bad thing.
Well, you know, Walt Disney, he put his fascist past behind him by dying, actually. But my friends at KSAN Radio in San Francisco back in the early 70s did a great, you know, one-hour radio drama, and it was all based around the fact that Walt Disney had been frozen and he came back to life, and he was propping up Richard Nixon and all. Just a very
Disney sickle.
A very contrived plot, but it was really fucking funny. And back in the early 70s, it really hit home because when you looked at what was going on in the Nixon administration, it's like, there's a lot of goose-stepping going on at the White House, I imagine.
Walt Disney was cryogenically frozen, and his body is stored in a chamber underneath Disneyland's Pirates of the Caribbean ride. This is a fact check.
Yep.
apparently he had expressed an interest in cryogenics, so people think that he's frozen. But it really, this is just a bunch of BS. But there was some sense that he was an anti-Semite.
I don't know whether so.
There was really evidence that that was completely correct or that he was a fascist. But, you know, I mean, people can get into these modes of thinking without kind of realizing what they're being sucked into. And you can make an argument against democracy, for sure. And we all know that Churchill made the greatest statement about it. He said, democracy is the worst form of government ever, except for all the others. So, in other words, democracy is imperfect. It's fraught. It's hard to do, but it's kind of the right way to go.
Yeah, well, some people have said democracy was okay, if would be okay if you just kept those damn people out of it and you left it up to the smart folks, whoever they may be.
Well, that gets to the thing about how liberals are really dumb and fascists or people on the right. Well, they use the word conservative, not fascist. And you can certainly be a conservative thinker without being anything like a fascist. So I actually think that people who aspire to fascism are they're co-opting the term conservative.
Oh, they definitely already did that. Yeah, remember William F. Buckley and Gore Vidal did their famous live debates on television back in the 60s. And I listened to a recording of that, and these were both smart men. I mean, they were making good points from both sides. And those kind of people are sneered at by the current conservative, intelligentsia, if there is such a thing.
Yeah, supposed conservatives.
And they even label it as rhinos, Republicans in name only. You know, they were all wrong, and now we've got it right here in the good Trump era. And geez, it's nothing.
And I've been really uncomfortable using. I mean, it feels uncomfortable to use the word fascism. It feels like you're going overboard if you use it, if you refer to somebody as a fascist. But at some point, you got to call a spade.
Yeah, and if you look have at to look fascism, it up in the dictionary,
so
and you'll see it.
It's authoritarian, and we know damn well that these people on the far right are authoritarian. They are far right. It's strongly nationalistic. And absolutely, that's what you're hearing from them, a kind of ultra-nationalism. It's dictatorial. Well, Donald Trump insisted on loyalty and insisted that he, as leader, could kind of do what he wanted to do, and he didn't want to be constrained by things like laws and regulations.
Well, importantly, it's also an evangelical. That's the big hot button issue in the conservative world. You know, if you're not in good with the evangelical Christians, then something's wrong with you. And they are have a lot of power in conservative circles, and the politicians are really afraid. That's why they're afraid of coming out any way at all in favor of abortion or any progressive things that aren't, approved by evangelical leaders.
Well, they make the argument, maybe not in public so much, but they clearly seem to feel that the United States is a Christian nation and should be run by Christians, and most people in the country should be Christians. Whether they would go so far as to try to completely suppress other religions, I don't know. But clearly they believe that power in this country should be assigned mostly to Christians and mostly to white Christians, European Christians. And, you know, that's kind of fascist there, you know. Mm-hmm. A fascist will try to forcibly suppress any opposition. And we seem to be going down that path. Right now, Republicans are doing everything they can to put their hands on the election systems in this country, to have partisans in charge of elections, Republican partisans, and not have like bipartisan election commissions and that sort of thing.
Well, that's actually the case in Texas already. I mean, it's solidified, and pretty much everyone agrees that the Democrats are going to be, you know, screwed for the next decade simply because of the way they've been able to gerrymander, you know, all the districts. And they've, you know, just really drawn some very strange looking districts, you know, following their so-called redistricting. It was they're just
carving up the
state.
Yeah, but so what happens when they're in charge of actually running elections and managing voting machines and that sort of thing?
Yeah, then it's even worse.
They can basically come up with the vote that they want, which is what they tried to do in the 2020 election. They tried to shift that vote from Biden to Trump. And they have tried every argument that they can think of. Much of it is this crap about this non-existent voter fraud that they claim, you know, it must have been there because otherwise we would have won.
Well, in Georgia, they didn't even bother with the mystery voters and illegal voters. They just were telling the people in charge of the elections, look, you just need to go out and find some votes so we can give it to Trump. And,
yeah, find me some votes.
Yeah, that right there is just outright criminal behavior. It's not, well, we're looking for all the evildoers. The evildoers are the people asking you to find those votes. And that's pretty cut and dried when you listen to the people that they were trying to convince to find those votes. You know, these were good Republicans that they were trying to do that to.
To January 6th, where you have some really fired up people who are convinced that the election was stolen from their candidate. And they're, by God, going to go down and take it back. So they think, Trump says that the insurrection was on November, whatever date that was, when the election was held. He says that the election was stolen from him, that it was a rigged election, which, you know, he always likes to say. And he's always made it clear. He says, you know, I'm fine with any election if I win. But he didn't win. So he managed to convince these people that they needed to go down to the Capitol and prevent the certification of the vote because it was rigged. It was not the right vote, that the wrong candidate was being placed in office. Mm-hmm. And they totally believed that and thought that they were being good citizens, that they were upholding the truth, justice, and the American way by marching down to the Capitol, breaking in, and stopping this terrible thing that was happening.
Well, they bought into the big lie, and I was floored. I was really plugged into watching the results come in during the election, and I watched many elections and seen how it works, how, you know, there'll be this trend and then trends go and people are declaring winners and such. But it's very late in the evening and the next day before all the votes are counted because there are millions of votes and it takes a while. But as soon as these late counts started adding up, and they were adding up against Trump, he freaks out and said, they brought in buckets of new ballots, and they're stealing it, and these are all phony ballots. And they looked for those phony ballots, never found them. But that's all it took, was to have the big lie. You keep saying it often enough and it becomes the truth for your audience. And that's been the case in everything that built up to the January 6th insurrection. These people just obviously are the people who buy a lot of retirement property in Arizona deserts and buy a lot of timeshare condos and stuff like that. They believe the big lie. You're going to get rich. It's really worth it. And so they bought into the same kind of lie for Trump. He told them, we're going to all get rich. We'll take over this country and we'll get rid of all those Jews and those colored folks, and it'll just be good us good white folks. And that was an easy sell for that crowd.
And the problem here is, what's true? But if you diminish the weight and value of facts, then people can kind of have whatever facts they want. And that's been the concept of alternate facts. That's been problematic. Because if you divorce yourself from reality, if you convince yourself that there's no phenomenological reality where facts are facts, where that which happened really did happen, and it's not just some narrative that somebody came up with, then you're starting to lose it. You're being drawn into a delusional state.
If you don't like the facts, if you don't like the facts, go out and make some of your own. And they did that.
And I would contend that what these far right people have done, when they talk about the red pill, they've actually taken the blue pill and dyed it red. And they're just trying to draw people into a delusion. It may be a different delusion. It's like changing dreams and then assuming that you're awake when you get into the next dream, but you're still asleep.
Reading a lot of the things out on the ultra right wing internet, a lot of people were really convinced that all they had to do was get Trump in office and they were going to be well off. They were going to start getting a lot of money. They were going to get all the good jobs. They were going to get all the beautiful women, or the women would get all the beautiful men, and everything would be going their way just because Trump was God's gift to conservatives. And there are a lot of people that really bought into that, and they were pissed when they didn't get their new job or they didn't get a new car from President Trump.
Yep. And in all of this stuff, there's a bit of misogyny too. There's a group of people who are referring themselves to being associated with the red pill, but what they're really about is like strategies for dominating women, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of a whole weird other thing.
Yep, and there are a lot of men that are really frightened of all these empowered women that are getting really good jobs and making really good decisions and being successful. It's like nothing scarier to a insecure male than a really successful, energetic female. Because I've worked, for some female managers who were the best thing I ever worked, best manager I ever worked for. They, because I had some really bad turkeys that that I worked for, and I got out of that right away. But you know, when they started allowing women to, you know, really assert themselves in business, I saw a lot of success as a result of these new managers coming in. And there are a lot of men who really hate seeing that. You know, it would be, you know, they would be thrilled if they were all failing, but there's a lot of successful women out there, and it just scares the shit out of the misogyny god crew.
Well, they have some funny ideas about women, I think.
Well, they have a lot of funny ideas. How about white Jesus? I love to bait the folks on white blonde hair Jesus, and you'll see those pictures all over. And I go, ever been to the Mid East? See a lot of blonde white guys out there?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, no, he's the son of God. He's allowed to be blonde and white. It's like, okay. But there's just a lot of that magical thinking. Magical thinking is the big epidemic, other than that other epidemic that we are still dealing with this very day. And I was watching the lines form for COVID testing in Austin, and it's huge. It's all the folks who said, well, I'm going to go fly to Tijuana anyway, and I'm going to come back with all these people on this plane. And they get home and go, I'd better go get COVID testing. I should have listened when people were saying, don't travel like that. But there's a lot of folks doing it, and a lot of folks denying the vaccines have any worth at all. You know, it's like, you can't tell me to go and do something that's going to save my life. I have the right to die. Okay, whatever.
Well, I mean, that's complicated, too. I can understand some degree of hesitancy about vaccines or anything, basically, that you're shooting into your body. But... you know, people are a little hypocritical about that. There's all kinds of things they'll put in their body without blinking.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to this vaccine, and it's because it's been politicized partly, but it is understandable that people would be a little nervous about putting something into their body if they kind of don't completely understand it, don't know what it is, don't know how it works. It's not hard to find an explanation, though, of mRNA vaccine. There are people who assume that it will somehow change their DNA structure, which it won't. And there's people who think that it will contain a little chip from Bill Gates, and that for the rest of their life, they'll hear Bill Gates' nasal voice in their ears.
Yeah, and they're not worried about that Bill Gates chip that's in their computer.
Exactly.
That's doing
exactly.
Way
Bill
worse.
Bill Gates does not have to put a chip in your body. He's got your ass already.
Well John
that's true.
Do you remember when they came out and said, if you're going to drive an automobile or ride in an automobile, you have to wear a damn seatbelt? And people lost their minds.
I know.
A lot of them are the same ones denying the facts.
Yeah. They don't even think twice about it.
And you go out and you go, well, if you don't wear the seatbelt and you have a wreck, you're going to die pretty much, unless you were just really lucky. It's like, well, I've got a right to not take care of things.
Well, not wear a mask. I mean, I actually have a theory why there's so much resistance to wearing masks. And it's a one-word theory, halitosis.
You don't want to smell your own bad breath.
Exactly.
Well, I saw that.
What's going to happen when you're wearing a mask. You're going to have to put up with your own poor dietary habits, the results that they have, you know?
Well, I just sprayed mine with some Lysol, and now I smell like Lysol instead of bad breath, which is not a real good thing. I'm lying about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's not that great a switch.
I just always keep a lot of mints around, and if I'm going to wear a mask, I'll pop a mint in my mouth and hope for the best. But it's just ridiculous. And going out in Bastrop County, you know, you're in beautiful Travis County, Bastrop County is the home of the Jade Helm crazies and a lot of other crazies, and they're starting to ramp up for the primaries here, and a lot of activity in the ultra conservative Republican wing out here, and there's only one Democratic candidate for county commissioner, so it's got to remain very conservative out here. But seeing the people on the streets who just refuse, to wear a mask, and if they are told to put a mask on, they go in and they pull it down to where it's just like it's on their chin, basically serving no purpose other than to be a jerk. And I see a lot of that. But I was thrilled to see that the guy, the idiot that had the bar in downtown Elgin, who would not let you come in with a mask. It was the Liberty Tree Bar. And so that's the sort of thing you have to deal with when you get away from the big metropolitan areas, which are generally fairly progressive. There's a lot of regressive people out here in the sticks.
Well, it could be that they really have it deeply embedded in their brains that somebody wearing a mask is there to rob them.
Well, it has been a boon to the armed robbery crews.
Exactly.
There used to be time, if you walked into a 7-Eleven store with a mask on your face and they had a gun, you were a dead robber.
Dead duck, right?
Or you were a dead person on Halloween who went into the wrong 7-Eleven, but now they're pissed at you if you don't have a mask on. So it's been an interesting time the last couple of years. But 2021, we all thought was going to be it's going to be the wonderland. We're going to all get every dogs and cats will lay down together, and the meek shall inherit the earth, and none of that happened.
What do you expect from 2022?
More of the same, only different. If that makes any sense, which it probably doesn't, we'll just see a different flavor of crazy. It'll be just as crazy. It'll have different flavorings and a different spin on it. Somebody will come up with something new and stupid to replace the old and stupid, I guess.
Well, what do you think is going to happen with the 2022 elections?
I think the Democrats are probably going to get thrashed because they're spending all their time, just like the Republicans are doing, infighting. and if you can't present a united front on election day, don't expect to have any big victories because they're just, there's too many mansions out there, I guess, in the world that claim to be Democrats, but not really.
In my father's house, there are many mansions.
Yes. I'd rather have a mansion than a mansion. So.
But what could the Democrats do to win the election?
Cheat. I don't know.
Don't say that.
I was just saying the obvious. What they could do is try to settle on a core set of values that will appeal to a lot of voters. And these days, that's almost impossible.
So why are Democrats unpopular with the people who have aligned themselves with the GOP? I mean, what is the problem with Democrats? Democrats used to have more of a following than they have now. There's still more Democrats than there are Republicans, but it's close.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you remember back to our younger days, the Democratic Party, especially in the South, was the racist party. It was very racist, and I remember hearing some of the radio commercials and the print ads for Democratic candidates, and it sounded like the ones that are now Republicans. In fact, I witnessed the change at the state Democratic convention in Houston in 1972, when they were, you know, trying to get everyone to support McGovern. And the right wing of the Democratic Party basically said, screw you, we're leaving. And they all became Republicans. And that was kind of the high water mark for the Democrats in Texas. You know, it got pretty funky. I mean, you know, there were some good times, like getting Ann Richards elected governor was great. But that was kind of a outlier, really, to business as usual here in, you know, Texas politics.
I remember, gosh, who were those governors? Gosh, I can't remember his name now. I'll have to.
Which
I'll
time period? I could probably tell you.
Huh?
Which period?
Oh, Alan Shivers.
Oh, that's Shivers. Shiver yeah. with Shivers. Yes, indeed. Yeah, yeah, he was.
Do you remember anything about Alan Shivers?
Not a whole lot. I guess I was too young and apolitical when he came around. Yeah, I dealt with Preston Smith. He was another fine governor. But Shivers, I don't remember much about him.
I met him one time. But I was a very tiny person at the time.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure. I really don't know very much about it. So Democrats were, it was a popular party in Texas, and it could have been a racial thing. But I'm just wondering if there were other reasons that the Democrats were so popular here. Supposedly, the reason that just kind of ordinary, say, rural and blue-collar people started aligning themselves with Republicans instead of Democrats was because the Democrats were elitists and snobs and kind of looked down their noses at them and, you know, talked to them like they were shit, you know. And I can see that. I can totally imagine that. I can see where that came from. And to me, it seems like if Democrats really want to have a real influence in this country, it's not a matter of just like drumming up votes. They're going to have to get out and hang out with people, you know. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to get out and spend some time with ordinary people.
Yeah.
And avoid telling those people what's wrong with them.
Yeah, you have to go out and press the flesh and kiss a lot of babies. You know, if you look at history, though, the history of the parties, after the Civil War, the Republican Party was the progressive party. They were the party of Reconstruction, and right, that pissed off the South like crazy, you know, because they were coming down, and instead of having the usual good old white boys running things, you know, they had a lot of black folks that were coming in and given positions of authority, and there's no better way to, or worse way to piss off a Southern racist than you know, have them working for, you know, someone that's not white. And that was a common occurrence in the South. You know, that's why the Ku Klux Klan came about, and there were a lot of Democrats in the Ku Klux Klan, and the whole party structures just kind of flip-flopped at some point, because it went from Republicans being the good guys and Democrats being the segregationists and racist and conservative folks to being, you know, they switched policies, I guess, you know, beliefs. Somewhere, you know, during the whole civil rights era, that's when it really came to a boil, when you had these Democratic people like, you know, the Kennedys coming in and trying to enforce civil rights laws, and Lyndon Johnson, who was not a big civil rights person until it became, you know, politically expedient for him to be such a thing. And that's what I remember things really changing. And the Democratic Party, you know, went to a more progressive direction, and the Republicans went in the opposite direction.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of historical consistency in these parties. They've evolved quite a bit. They've changed quite a bit. And the Republican Party today would be like unrecognizable to a Republican of the 1970s or 80s.
Oh, absolutely. You know? I mean, they look on those people as, a bunch of hacks. You know, they didn't have the true conservative beliefs that they now have, or they claim they now have.
Yeah, we thought Ronald Reagan was bad, and I'm
he was a nut.
Him fondly these days.
Yeah, he was a nut job, but he was a senile old nut job, and he seems kind of charming now compared to the nut jobs that they're putting forth in the Republican Party today.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who's ever watched Death Valley Days can appreciate Ronald Reagan.
20 Mule Team Borax coming to the rescue.
Exactly.
I never tried any 20 Mule Team Borax. It just looked weird.
I have one other thing. There's several things we could talk about. I'm looking at my list. So I have a list. I've got a little list, a list of things that I think were important in this last year. Probably the most important thing was that Britney Spears got free from her dad,
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly don't want to diminish the importance of the Free Britney movement. I think that they were a big deal. And I am relieved every day, every morning when I wake up and realize that Britney is free. That's a good day.
None of us are free until Britney is free. And I just threw up a little in my mouth. Sorry. But I was not a big Britney fan, but
she's
fine.
Another thing I thought was interesting was how a bunch of people on Reddit managed to shake up the stock market.
I love that.
Gaming the GameStop stock. And I'm surprised we're not seeing more of those. Yeah, GameStop.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's, they had to crack down on those guys. So, but I've heard rumors that there were people trying to organize other fly-by-night campaigns to screw with the stock market, which was a lot of fun for those folks. But, if you have any investments...
We certainly don't want to see the stock market trashed.
But what's really
it's
trashing...
It's not in anybody's interest, for sure.
What's really trashing the stock market, though, is cryptocurrency, Bitcoin and all those. Because, people that used to invest in wild stock, they go and invest in weird cryptocurrency, some of which are good and some of which are non-existent, really. They're just
It's all just speculative investment, isn't it?
Yeah. It's, pie in the sky, buy and buy, if you're lucky and you're in on the ground floor. Otherwise, say goodbye to your money.
It's all basically... so the idea of a currency is that you use it as a medium of exchange, right? But you don't see a lot of exchange going on with cryptocurrencies. It's mostly like buying them, speculative investment in them, and holding them, not spending them.
It's like the people buying all the gold coins and gold bars and putting them in their safe in anticipation of the end of times when they'll be the only ones with anything of value. Of course, if in a real dystopian environment, your gold, you can't eat it, and there's not going to be a lot of people that are going to want to get gold that they can't do anything with, because the banks have all crashed. So
yeah, those bites don't taste worth a damn.
Yeah, so basically the ones that will be doing okay are the people with the big warehouse full of military MRE meals there. They taste like shit, but they'll keep you alive in a dystopian environment.
Well, as we get toward the sort of end of our time together, I want to read something that Adbusters posted. I think they posted it on Facebook. Adbusters is a magazine that really leans pretty far to the left, and I'd say they're very skeptical of the capitalist project. But here's something that they said. Periodically, people suggest that Adbusters should create NFTs or get involved in an NFT project. So periodically, we have to set the record straight. If you know what an NFT is, that's non-fungible token, for those who don't know, you know about their enormous environmental impact. NFTs are generally minted on a proof-of-work blockchain that uses complex computations to prove the validity of transactions. These computations use an extraordinary amount of energy and are becoming increasingly energy intensive over time. But NFTs are worse than a simple Bitcoin transaction because every step of the way requires a new transaction to be verified, from minting to bidding to resales. And all that energy use is multiplied when multiple editions of a single piece are minted. So they're environmentally destructive juggernaut. But it gets worse. NFTs are an investment pyramid scheme, like Amway. As soon as someone buys into NFTs, they'll be evangelizing about them to all their friends so that they're not left holding all the useless assets they bought. NFT evangelists will constantly crow about the artistic community they've found, but in truth, there is no such thing as an NFT community. That community consists of a group of people pumping up the prices of their useless assets in order to sell them to suckers who want to belong. Real community is not predicated on exchange, but on gift, on connection, on love. And with that, I think we can wrap.
Yeah, that is a very good summary. And, you know, just to add to that, there's a number of countries where the data centers are basically, you know, spending all of their time and energy and using all of that energy, you know, for Bitcoin and for NFTs and whatever. And they're actually having to regulate those because it's starting to impact their power grid. All that electricity is being used for these meaningless transactions. They're just churning away and using up all those electrons that
all the Bitcoin miners are moving to West Texas.
Yeehaw.
Out to the desert. Well, this has been great, Scoop.
It was, and it's been a great year. Well, we're just moving right along, and I just hope we can keep on doing this in the coming year.
Right, and we should mention that we do all sorts of things, and anybody who wants to see what we do and align themselves with us, listen to us, read us, all of those things, go to plutopia.io, our website with pointers to everything.
And go and buy some merchandise. We have t-shirts, we have coffee mugs, we have bumper stickers. Come on down, we'll sell them to you. We're not
proud.
That
would be great.
All right, okay. John, thanks a lot, and have a happy new year, my friend.
Adios.
You can follow the Plutopia News Network at plutopia.io. On Facebook, go to @PlutopiaNews. On Twitter, it's @Plutopia. With John Lepkoski, I'm Scoop Sweeney. This is the Plutopia News Network, 20 minutes into the future.